Hola, mi linda gente, your girl Calypso coming at you from the LA City. You are on Girl Talking Mouth.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Girl Talking Mouth.
Hi, everybody, welcome to Girl Talking Mouth.
Yay! I'm so excited today because it is our first episode with Ruby Rodriguez.
Woohoo!
You guys, Ruby is Team Girl Talking Mash. She's one of the many co-hosts that are joining me on season two. And I can't wait. If you guys have not checked the Instagram yet, go check it because you can go and meet all three guest co-hosts that will be on Girl Talking Mash for season two. And they are all amazing ladies that bring so much love and so much positivity to the digital world, to the, you know, social media world, and I'm so happy and honored and excited to have you guys on with me, and it's going to be awesome.
thank you. Yes, I'm very, very, very excited to be a part of this, empowering women and empowering the people out there. So thank you so much for this opportunity, Marissa.
Oh my gosh, of course. I knew that you were one of the perfect people that I wanted to, like I said, I was really thinking about it for a while now, and I was like, I want to have like some mix of hosts and some different views. And I know you had a little podcasting itch that you've been wanting to scratch, that you're like, oh, I want to try podcasting. And so I knew you were perfect to kind of join the show. So I'm super excited that you're here for season two and that we've done our first interview with you guys that we are going to share with Jasmine today. If you guys are coming on, you know, Jasmine is our highlight empowering amiga today that we interviewed, and I was just floored by that whole interview. So I'm so excited because I have a reading with her coming up, and I'm so excited.
It's very exciting. Yes, I definitely reached out to her as well for a reading.
Yes, and you guys listen at the end of the episode because we have a special announcement. Surprise! For you guys. If you want to have a special reading with Jasmine on your numerology and figure all that out, you definitely want to listen to her interview and learn more about what she does and how she does it. But we want to welcome you to this episode, and we are going to kind of just dive in because so much has happened just with social media and just in our news world. And Ruby and I have been talking about it, and we've kind of just been taken back by, you know, some of the things we've seen that's happening out in the world right now. Starting with the social media, Instagram, Facebook shutdown that happened last week.
That was scary.
Wasn't it scary? I mean, I think it was so funny because I was like, refresh, refresh, refresh. I was like, what the hell is happening? And then I was like, you know what I did? I was like, I'm going to go on Twitter because if anything is happening, it's happening on Twitter. Like, people will be tweeting about it because people get mad and then they start tweeting. So sure enough, I went onto Twitter and I just looked up I just put Facebook in the search. I didn't even like do a hashtag or anything. I just typed Facebook and pulled it up, and there it was. Everybody's like, my Facebook is working, my Facebook is down, my Facebook. And I was like, oh my God, this is not just me. This happened to everybody. And then sure enough, Facebook had to tweet, you guys. Facebook had to go on their Twitter account and tweet because obviously they couldn't get to any of their followers or say anything anywhere else. And they had to tweet that they were having problems. And I think what they were at first telling people, because I know when I tried to send it onto my Facebook, you said it was happening to you on Instagram, right?
It was, yes. I couldn't log in and I thought my life was over. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Right? I know. Well, I didn't even go to Instagram. I was trying to get on my Facebook and it was telling me, oh, we're doing a little bit of maintenance. And it even said something like, we do maintenance on a certain number of accounts at different times, not everybody all at once. So it might be you and other people's Facebook might be okay that you know. Like, it literally said that. And so I was like, oh, so they're doing an update. So then I noticed other bloggers on Twitter were like, oh, Facebook is doing an update, so that's why it's down. And then as Facebook started to tweet, they were like, just to let everybody know, this is not a hack. We are still trying to figure out why, you know, our site is down. So it wasn't actually an update. People were misdirected by their message that they were giving to people when you tried to log on, that it made it sound like it was a Facebook update, but it really was just something that totally went down and they don't know why. And it was just scary.
It definitely was. And I know a lot of people were freaking out. And, you know, I run an online business with my sister and we're trying to, you know, put our content out there. And I'm like, oh my God, it's not working for me. You try it. So going back and forth until we gave up. But I mean, it lasted for hours.
It was a whole day, you guys. I don't think they said it. I think it was 2 in the morning by the time they said everything was restored. And it's just scary. And it gives me, and I've said this before on another previous episode, but when I interviewed Cody Sanchez Baker, who is like a digital media, just knows everything about it. She runs her entire business on digital media. Her first advice to me was, build your email list. And if you guys have these mm-hmm. online businesses, or even if you're a blogger or social media influencer and you're connecting with your followers, you want to build a contact list that is not on social media. If you don't already have your own website set aside, and I was just telling Ruby this, like for you and Sophie, you guys get your own email list built aside from this right. social media, you know, because it can really disappear at any time. You know, it really can. Something could happen. It could get taken out. And there goes everything that you've been, you know, all mm-hmm. your pictures, all your content, all your pictures that you've taken all this time to take, all these photo shoots that you guys have spent money on, you know, everything that we do, it's yes. all there and it's great, but like it can be gone at any moment. So it
definitely can.
Yeah. And we had a little taste of that last week. So guys, if you have a business, I can promise you, build your own list where you have contact to your email and you can still email your customers or your followers or whoever's reading your content, buying your products, you know, supporting your business, that you can still contact them, because that has to be the most important thing, bottom line to you guys, you know, that you're building your business. You want people to still be able to buy your, you know, clothing, your jewelry, whatever it is you're selling. And mm-hmm. they're never going to be able to find you again if your Instagram goes gone and your Facebook is gone. And, you know, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So that right. was a learning lesson.
Yes. But, talk about a wake up call.
Whew, yeah.
and another wake up call. What's going on? What's going on with all this R. Kelly, Michael Jackson stuff?
Oh my God. I'm so disturbed by it all. And I really didn't want to believe the Michael Jackson thing, but the more I'm hearing, I have not watched it. I don't think I can bring myself to watch it. I have friends that have watched it and they're like, it's horrible. And like some of my friends are like, I think they're saying is true. Even though, one of the guys that are in the documentary did mm-hmm. testify on Michael's behalf when he was on trial
before.
And what bothers me about it is that why did they wait till now? Like, why didn't they do this when he was alive? So he could either, you know, paid for his crime or whatever, you know, they had all this evidence. And then with the R. Kelly thing, I just think R. Kelly is just, I did watch that documentary that's on Lifetime, and you guys can and go and find it and find snippets of it. But that was the most disturbing thing to see. I remember growing up in Detroit, Aaliyah was from Detroit, and that was like the person that he was married to, I say for a certain amount of time. But you know, and she was 15 and he was in his 20s, and I don't think I thought anything of it at that point. I guess I just saw her as a star. So I didn't think anything. I don't even know if I realized she was that young at that point.
I know.
I didn't ever realize she was that young when she had her albums and stuff like that. But So one thing when I was thinking about everything between R. Kelly and the Michael Jackson scandal, mm-hmm. I feel like the parents have a big part to play in the fault of what happened.
Because I mean, all these kids are underage.
They're underage. And if like the boys in the Michael Jackson case, like, you know, they were getting vacations and houses and cars and money, like they were, mm-hmm. he was basically like giving them gifts and stuff like that, where they were like, sure, my kid can go hang out with you for a week, you know, or, you know, like, I mean, like, yeah. like why were these kids even in a position? You know, it's like fine if they worked with him on set or something like that, and then something like that happened on set. But these kids were allowed to go to his house for long periods of time, and the parents left them right. there. Like, I think that these parents saw the cash and the money and the luxury items that they were getting. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is definitely the case in R. Kelly's, case, because the people have said, like the girls in that case, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they knew what they were doing, or what do you think with that?
I think taking it back to what you were saying, the fame and the money. I mean, I think part of it had to be influenced by the dream of them becoming, some sort of artist or something, you know, because R. Kelly was promising them fame and, you know, a label and this, and that. So it kind of, they were tricked into it, but they were not at the same time. It's like, okay, you know that it's wrong mm-hmm. and you're still doing it.
Yeah.
So, and you're not liking it. So why aren't you, you know, going away from it?
Right. Right.
And that's the dilemma that how I see it. Because some people are like, well, they probably wanted it. And it's like, well, maybe they didn't, maybe they did. But you know what? At the end of the day, I think R. Kelly has a lot, at fault when it comes to this. Because, I mean, he was older. Shouldn't be messing around with young girls to begin with, mm-hmm. or trying to entice them to go into bed with you, or, mm-hmm. you know, playing your fame to get these young girls to go to bed with you. I mean, yeah. it's just, and then what he would do is just disturbing. And I yeah. know there's videos out there. I would not dare watch them.
Me neither. I see that there's videos and I haven't even tried to look. And, you shared the photo of Gayle King with R. Kelly, where you were like, this bothers me so much. And I felt the same way. And even like the whole staff, where she works, I think is CBS. They were all like, oh, mm-hmm. we were so afraid for you. And, were you scared? And she was like, she says, I wasn't afraid, because I felt like if she reacted in a angry way, or even like mm-hmm. an afraid way, that she would, entice him more. Yeah. But that I'm sure you guys all seen the picture of him standing up and waving his hand, and Gayle is just there, just staring,
keeping her composure.
Just keeping her composure. And props to her, as everybody has given. She really handled that. I don't think there was anybody more perfect to do that interview with him. But yeah. at the same time, I think it really showed his pain of what he realized he's going to get put away for.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what that for was. Sure. I don't think that was, and he says, I'm fighting for my life. Yeah, man, because your life is about to be spent for the rest of your life in jail. You know, I mean, they just got Bill Cosby put away after all these years. If they don't think, exactly. if you don't think they're going to get R. Kelly, they will. You know, and if Michael Jackson was alive, they would have got mm-hmm. him too. You know, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. And just like the Catholic, the whole Catholic Church thing, I think I saw it in the news. Mm-hmm. This man, I don't know if he's like 70 something, 80 something, but he's like the oldest person to be convicted, from the Catholic Church for, abusing young children. And it's like, you're going to get what you're going to deserve, because you were wrong.
It's going to come.
And
to
no
you.
Matter what, like, he was crying for help or whatnot, but at the end of the day, you were guilty. And yes, you may be repenting from it, but it's a little too late now, because it's out there, and you thought that you were invincible, but you're not.
Right. That's so true. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And that, you know what that is? That's karma. That's the things coming right back to you, when you do something mm-hmm. bad, or, what you've done in this world, it will come back to you tenfold. And, I truly believe that. And that kind of takes us into talking to Jasmine, because Jasmine will explain this whole world to us. Because I think I think when you think about the universe and what's happening, and Mercury retrograde, who has been messing with us, Ruby, I don't know how many
from
times.
From day one, Jesus Christ, Marissa.
It has been horrible, you guys. I tried to post something last week. I couldn't even get on the Girl Talking Mass page. It was like the Instagram went down. And then after that, it was like something else and then something else. And then even today, me and Ruby have been having technical difficulties, but we finally made it on. And it's just been, I'm like, oh my God, Mercury retrograde, go away. Yes. And then funny, because Jasmine has been sharing it on her page too. She's been feeling it too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a really strong one. I didn't realize it was going to be this strong, but I feel like it really is strong. And you've even felt it with, like you said, you had delays in some of your shipments for your, products and everything mm-hmm. like that. I remember when you told me that, and I was like, Ruby, oh my God, this Mercury retrograde.
And at first I was like, what is that?
I know.
And she explained it to me. And then, we had Jasmine give us the whole insight of it. And now I'm like, yes,
that's exactly
real, guys.
It is so real. Even if you don't think it's happening to you, it probably is, and you don't even realize that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
Well, we want to take you right into our interview with Jasmine, our esoteric Essa, who we absolutely love, and we are so honored for her to be on the show. You guys, check out Jasmine's episode, and we'll be right back. Hey, Jasmine, welcome to Girl Talking Mass Podcast. We are super excited to have you on today.
Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. I'm just as excited. We've been talking about this for a while.
Yes.
So I'm happy we got everyone's busy schedules on board. And I know this is going to be so much fun.
Yes, it is. And I want to also welcome one of my new co-hosts who are part of my Girl Talking Must team, Ruby Rodriguez. She is in LA, actually, where you are. And I'm just excited to have her a part of this podcast, too. So, yay, Ruby.
Thank you so much, guys, for this opportunity. I'm really, really excited to do this with you both.
Yes, this is so much fun. Congrats, Ruby. I mean,
thank you.
I mean, you couldn't have made a better selection. I personally met Ruby at an event earlier this year.
And yes, you did.
You're just so sweet and you just are so easy to talk to. So
thank you.
When I found out you're going to be co-hosting, I was like, oh, this is such a great selection because it's all about making people feel comfortable, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I actually had the opportunity, like I met Ruby when she was staying here in San Antonio because her sister and her family live here in Texas. And I met her through her sister, who was one of my fellow bloggers. And then I actually connected to you, Jasmine, through watching Ruby's Insta stories. And I'm like, hey, you sound so cool. And so, I mean, I was literally over there and I have to tell you, like, I was like, you know, I have, like I said, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you in person yet, but I swear one episode of Bitch, You Better Work podcast. And I'm like, oh, I'm like not letting this one go. I'm like, I got to keep on listening to this girl. She's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
You really are. Yeah. I've listened to your podcasts as well, and they're so inspirational. And it makes me think, it's like, okay, I need to learn a little bit more about what she's doing. So I'm really excited to learn that today.
Let's get into it.
You have like a really real way of presenting everything. And it's like informative, but also inspiring. And you just come off like, I don't know, you have a really good aura around you. And I can just imagine why, but you know, because of everything that you know and all the knowledge you have on stones and everything that we're going to totally get into. But I think that's what has to do with why you are the way you are, why people probably feel this way when they're around you.
Well, thank you both. That's so nice to hear. I really try and work really hard in, you know, not creating this facade that sometimes we can do when we're online. I really like to apply like all of that in my actual daily life, my interpersonal relationships, my marriage, like when I meet you in person, you know, so it's not like, oh, it's the podcast Jasmine Esoteric Essa, it's like, oh, in person, she's actually like, she follows through with, you know, who she
she's
is.
She's real.
Yeah, we have time for that, you know? You learn that as we get older.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, Jasmine, so I have our first question. So you are our Esoteric Essa. I love it. I love the name. Mm-hmm. And a numerologist. And so I've had my cards read before, but I never have done anything with numbers. So kind of just tell our listeners what is a numerologist? Like, what is that? Maybe what's the difference? Because I'm assuming, you know, maybe people haven't ever done that yet.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think people really like dove into that when I, you know, team up on projects to talk about this stuff. But I think it's very important to explain that numerology is such a lost art in the esoteric realm. And when I say esoteric, like that's reference of astrology and crystals, anything that is quote unquote unknown. Are not as popularized would be categorized as esoteric. And how numerology differentiates from tarot, which is what you're referring to, the cards that people kind of put out and they read.
Yes.
Is essentially it's almost the same where you're tapping into spirit, into your higher self. You're communicating with your own aura because we all have a higher self, all of us. It's who we are behind this physical self that knows what's of our best interest. And I guess you could say our intuition is
kind of like your instinct.
Absolutely, gut feeling, all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So numerology is kind of like I utilize the numbers that come across in your birthday, and then I also incorporate astrology, and then I incorporate cardology, which is literally like playing cards. And so that's kind of, and everyone has uniquely tailored playing cards and numbers and planets according to you. And I think that's important to start highlighting because it's kind of been lost in translation because now we think of cardology as blackjack or poker, right? When that wasn't what it was used for before. Actually, it was used as a divination tool, like traces all the way back as a sense of a form of calendar to like the Mayans and the Aztecs. So it is part of our ancestral birthright. And I think that's why I'm trying to really put the message out there in terms of numerology and how we can connect with that and connect with like our ancestors in a sense. So it's mm-hmm. it's really part of our history. It's not anything taboo.
Right. Right. Yeah. But I think it's just so like you said, like a hidden mm-hmm. thing that people don't learn about. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, you know, like in the tarots are popular and, you know, you see them all over the TV and, you know, call this number, yeah. you walk by something and it's like, get your card. You know, it's like everywhere.
Right.
We are in every corner, almost every corner, our hand in the valley.
Really? For real. Oh my gosh. That's how, I mean, and I, you know, and I don't know why my friends and I, ever since I was little, I grew up in Detroit and we were just always obsessed with getting our cards read. Like I used to get them read, like, all the time. Yeah. I don't know why. We had some really good people that we knew. We were like, we had like our go-to lady that would read our cards.
See, and,
that's funny.
And it's a comfortable experience when you go to someone who you've developed that comfort and reputation with, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, she would read my cards, but she was just also something like, not like a counselor, but like almost like somebody to listen to and kind of for me to express like what I was feeling, but I didn't know what I was feeling, but she was able to kind of explain it to me, you know?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that, when a lot of us step into these roles of whether it's like astrology, being an astrologist or a numerologist or a tarot reader, or even being someone who's like a healer, like a shaman, you know, like those type of people, right?
Yeah.
A lot of that is really tapping into our own intuition. Like when I do these readings, it really takes a lot out of me because I really try to sit in your energy and understand how can I apply this basic knowledge to you, specifically tailored, you know?
Yeah.
And so really it's a good practice for me to keep connecting with my intuition and building on it. And so I think that's the beautiful aspect of it is like it's not just like a generalized thing, you know?
It's a personalized thing. Definitely.
Definitely. And I think that's in reference to the lady you guys went to, like she was able to do that for you, right? Because she was more than just someone who like gave you the basic meaning of every card. Like she knew how to tap into where you were at and how that applied to you.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's definitely what it was. And I think that's probably why I would get my cards read. And I didn't see it as something like people are like, oh no, I don't want to, like, you know, I would always get that. I don't want to hear nothing bad. And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, like you're going to get bad. I mean, the bad things are going to happen to you either way, but but I think for me, it was more of like a spiritual connection healing that I had. And I did it a lot when I was younger. I haven't had my cards read in a long time as an adult, but, I'm excited to set up an interview with you though and do a numerical reading with you. Yeah. I told you that we were going to have that set up and I know you're going to try to give us a little insight on this, but
totally.
Yeah, but I'm excited to just do that and find out from that aspect, like where, you know, like what comes out and what my spiritual, you know.
I mean, it's just really insightful. It's not, and I try to tell people like, it's not necessarily like fortune telling. Like that's exactly. not who I am.
That's not what this is, guys. It's not fortune telling.
No, it's not like I'm fortune telling and looking into a crystal ball. Some people have that skill set, but that's not me. You know, this is more so looking into the energies that you're working with, that you've been born with and how you've been working with that all throughout your life up until the point that you and I connect, and then understanding how to work with that energy and balance it out so that way in the future you can better create your reality, so you understand how to balance yourself out and how to make sense of how things have happened up until that point. It's very insightful and it offers a lot of self-reflection and a lot of insight into our shadow work, like what we've done up until that point that we've worked on. Like let's say I've really worked on self-love, and then you can reflect back on why that's happened. And then you might even self-reflect in the sense like, oh, but you know what? I still have a bit more to do in this aspect because I've kind of been neglecting that, and it's right. Like I should work on that when I'm ready.
Yes.
So it's like that, you know, it's really cool. It's super detailed and it's fun. And a lot of people really enjoy it and they walk away with a better sense of self. And that's what I love doing. Like, that's what I love about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting that you're into that. You know, you just recently put out a blog, you know, that you didn't consider yourself a numerologist up until your early 20s.
Oh, I love this post. Yeah.
So, I was reading and I was like, that's so interesting because you mentioned Walter Mercado. And I remember, you know, we used to sit around, you know, my mom used to watch the news and he would always come out and me and my sister were always like, okay, we're coming up next. What's it going to say about me now, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
I can totally relate to that.
Oh, yeah. Everyone paused for Walter, okay?
Yes. Everyone. And then that infamous kiss at the end.
Yes.
Have you guys seen those memes?
Yeah.
About that infamous kiss, like, mucho, amor.
When the queen spoke, everyone stopped and listened. Okay.
Definitely.
But, you know, touching on what you brought up, Ruby, with regards to the blog and where I highlighted that is, I felt important to share that message because I come across so many women who are like, I want to pursue this route, whether it's like professionally in their careers or whether it's like they want to get into healing work. And a lot of them are like, well, don't I have to go to school? Or don't I have to like meet these credentials and this criteria? And I always tell people, sure, you can if you feel that's the realm that you need to go about with making yourself armed with that knowledge. But truly, when your intuition is sparking any sort of curiosity in any aspect, even if you want to go back and get your master's degree, honor that curiosity. Like, you know, you don't have to come off as a person with all these accolades. Like, at the end of the day, you ain't doing brain surgery. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
I always say that.
You know, do what's best for you. And that's really where I struggled for a long time between my path and my life purpose, because I got so hung up on this self-illusion of getting tied up with, well, you know, I don't have a mentor, or I, you know, didn't go to astrology school and this and that. And so I really want to put the message out there to people, like, you don't have to necessarily do all that. Sure, it can help you, because I do have a mentor and she's amazing, but honor what you want to do.
Right. Absolutely.
No, I was going to say, because you mentioned in that blog post how your grandmother kind of has always had, she was part of like astrology, right? Like she had, and so do you think that it was already instilled in you kind of as a young child and you kind of like blocked it out and didn't, and just went around about like doing your schooling and career and try to live that, like that life, but really had this like inside you? Or
Absolutely.
Okay. Wow.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it comes down to us honoring our lineage. Like, so, like you mentioned, my grandma is a psychic. She's always practiced tarot and astrology.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, like that was her business. Like that's how she paid her bills. That's how she paid her rent. Like back at the time, you know, before it was really popular, when it was still really taboo in Latin culture. And so I had that always in the back of my mind. But my mom and my dad both carry through their own lineages, their own psychic like tendencies, but they've always blocked that out. And so that's why much of when I grew up, specifically like my dad, my mom too, because my mom grew up with her mom. So my mom knew all the, you know, how deep it can get if you really get into the thick of it. And my dad very much has had his own experiences. So I think a lot of that was based off of fear in their own mentalities. And then they instilled that fear within me and my brother. So to your point, yeah, I totally blocked it out because you know, I was being raised with that fear-based mentality. And it was like, no, you're an American citizen. You were U.S. born. You're here to go to school. You know, it's like, and it, you know, my parents did what they knew best. It was like, you're going to get your education. You're going to get a career, like, you know, live the American dream. So of course I was just like, okay, yeah, you're right. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to honor all that hardship that you've been through so I can succeed, you know, for you. But a lot of the times I was doing things for them and not for me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I think we all can relate to that, especially coming from immigrant parents. You know, you want to live for their dream, you know, so that it's like they came over here to pursue a dream, which is raising us in a country where we can be free and, you know, and kind of live through their dream. So live to their expectations.
Yes.
But I'm glad that you found yourself, you know, and you were able to, you know, follow your and pursue your dream of doing this.
Yeah. And it takes a while. And that's one thing I really want to reassure people with is you're on your own timeline. So go according to your comfort, but also don't get stuck in a rut. Because for a long time, I really allowed myself to stay stagnant. And it was because I was so hung up on perception. And the perception stopped me from my authenticity.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're doing this full time now, right? Like this is your, this is your job. Like you quit like your 9 to 5 and this is what you do. Like you go to your conferences, you have your readings. Mm-hmm. Like this is all, I mean, like, it's like, how amazing is that, that you just went after, like with 100, you know, like 100% just went after this. Yeah. And this is what you're doing, what you love and what you're, I think, meant to do.
Yeah. Because I think it takes a lot to leave a job that you're comfortable in and you're knowing that you're having that steady paycheck to going on your own. Mm-hmm.
It was really hard to both of your points, ladies. Like, you know, I, in my professional career, I worked my way up in marketing and digital marketing. I was in a management position. Like I was doing everything right, you know, like I was making amazing salary, but then always I was pulled back to like, but is this really what's making you happy? It was really putting me out of alignment. And so that's why I struggled for a while. Like you guys said, it's like the responsibilities come into play, you know, and then it's it's not just me alone. Like I'm married. So mm-hmm. I have to be a responsible spouse at the end of the day. And I can't really, you know, neglect the needs of my partner either. So I really had to set myself up for success in order to make that transition, because it's a really hard transition, but anyone can do it if you really want it. Anyone can do it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. 100%. Sure. Yeah. And I just applaud that about you so much, because that's amazing.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So I want to get into the stone things, because it was so funny.
Let's do it.
After I found you and I was so excited, I was like listening to one of your podcasts and I want to say it might've been your first one that you put out this year. And I was literally like, I think I woke up one morning, or I must've listened to it. I think I listened to it right before I went to bed, and you were like, your stones are like your babies, like your children. You have to take care of them. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, I don't know where any of my stones are right now. I literally woke up.
Hey, Marissa.
I was so bad. I know. And the thing is that when I moved here in 2015, I was like feeling really like cluttered. And I was like, I had moved from one state to another. I was here by myself with my kid. And I was like, I was just feeling like I had this like energy around me that it just did not feel good. And I was like, this is not the right feeling. And I started looking up the chakra and all the stones that you should have around you to like clear your thoughts and to bring positive, you know, all just whatever they meant. Like I looked them all up. I found a store that like sold stones here in San Antonio. I drove over there and I bought like all these little stones, and I was like, and then and what's funny is I was really like 100 about putting them, like I put them, like they were like, put one in, you know, put them in your living room and put them in front of a picture and put them by the water. I was like doing all of it, right? I was putting them all up. And when I listened to Jasmine's episode, I was like, holy shit, I have no idea where they are. I legit got up at like in the middle of the night and started looking for the stones. I found all 5 of them.
And you messaged me too. We were like, girl.
I was like, girl, I'm so sorry. I had them all like in the dust. They were like, one of them was in the closet.
Conscious.
I so did. That's so funny. But tell us about the stones and like the importance of them, and even like the ones that you like to keep close to you, because I know I was like trying to ask you, like, I didn't even know what stones they were. And I was like, Jasmine, do you know what stone this is?
Yeah, but we figured it out, you know?
We figured it out. Yeah. But tell us and our listeners, like, about that. Like, why are those so important, and what do they do to, like, how do they help us? Because I feel like those helped me tremendously in the beginning when I was first here.
Yes, sure. I'll give a quick like kind of description of it, because I could go on, you know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, crystals, I think, are a great form, just like astrology and numerology, a great form of self-empowerment. It's a tool that we can utilize and not be so completely dependent on them for all the answers and all the solutions. Mm-hmm. They can definitely coincide well with what we're trying to attain as far as our goals, because crystals, and I don't think many people know this, and I think you remember this, Marissa, because I think in that episode I mentioned this, crystals are literally conscious beings.
Yes.
And when I say this, it means they are literally as real as a tree, as real as a bird, as real as you and me. They are vibrating in a frequency. They're really emitting real energy. There's been so many studies on this, so if people get hung up on science and research and all that.
Check it out. Research it.
Go check it out. It's legit. And I think they can pair well with us depending on the stages we're at by helping us with our energetic force fields. And you know, I think the best ways, if you're wanting to just dip your toes in this because it could be so overwhelming, just go into a shop and just walk around. Don't focus too much on something like, oh, I always see rose quartz on Instagram, so I want a rose quartz. Like, no, just go in clear-headed and see which stones are gravitating to you, because the stones will always choose you because they know, dependent on your energy frequency, what you need. Like, oh, you know, Ruby walks into a store and you might be really compelled to go to an amethyst. That's because amethyst knows that maybe you need that sort of spiritual assistance with your spiritual growth, you know, depending on what they represent. So as far as like stones on hand, I guess me personally, that I carry all the time.
Yes.
My birthstone is amethyst. And so that I have like 50 of them in my home. Like, my house is like a crystal cave, but
I bet.
But in a very nice way. Not like super like,
we need a tour. Yeah. When I come to LA, I'm coming to see you, Jasmine.
We're going straight to Jasmine's house.
You're gonna walk in and you're gonna be like, boo, I feel it now. I'm just But currently what I've really been gravitating to is celestite, which is a blue stone, and it helps a lot with creativity. And I've been gravitating a lot to rainbow fluorite, which I just did a YouTube video like a month ago on it. And the rainbow fluorite really has helped me with like focusing on things and getting really focused, since you know how we are. We have all these projects going on. We're a multifaceted woman. We have a lot to juggle. Some of us have families and children. I think rainbow fluorite is a great stone to help us get focused and organized, and it's definitely helped me in my own life. So those are the two I'm really incorporating at this current moment. Mm-hmm. Like, without me even like going in and like purposely choosing, like they chose me. Like, I walked into a store and they chose me. And so it's just funny how that plays out. It really is.
Wow, that is so cool. That's awesome. I want to do that now and go back to that store again. And see like what gravitates towards me instead. Because before, I did go there looking for certain stones because I had kind of researched like which ones will help, you know, with like clarity and clearing the, you know, like your air. Like, I know I pick certain ones for that. So I would love to do that and go back and see which ones gravitate. Yeah.
And I mean, there's nothing wrong with the way you went about it either, but I really like to instill the message of making things happen organic as much as you can, like with anything we do. So try that out. And I would love to hear what you end up gravitating with, because
I would definitely tell you.
It's funny because then after, when you find your stone and then you research it, you're gonna be like, oh my God, yes, it's because I needed assistance with this aspect. It's just how that happened.
I know. Everything just ties in together.
Ruby, have you ever had any stones by you? Like anything like that? Have you ever?
Yes. No, I haven't. I mean, I've seen them every time we would go to Mexico and stuff. Like, we would always see like ladies selling different stones, and but I never knew really what they were. And then, you know, I know Jasmine said, you know, the rose quartz, and I was like, you know what, I need one of those rollers. But I got it just like you said, just because I saw everybody getting it. I was like, okay, I need that in my life, you know. So I went to go get one, but that's all that I have. But now that you mention it, you know, I would like to go walk into a store and just see what gravitates
that
to
would
me.
Be cool. We should both do that and get back to Jasmine. Let's do that.
I know at the work event we were both at earlier in January, Ruby, I know you were curious. I could tell.
I was,
because I'm curious, like, but I don't think you were ready yet. But I think you're definitely like starting to get ready to honor that curiosity.
I love it.
And it helps me go with a friend. Go with Marissa. You guys go together. It's a comfort level, you know?
Yeah. That would be cool.
Next time I'm in San Antonio, I think I'm going to be there next
yes,
month.
Yes, did I have the place? It's a really cool place. Like, the place that I went to had such a great, like, I loved it too, because it had such a great feeling. It was just like, every stone, and like, I mean, it was just like three rooms of like stones, like of all different sizes. It was really pretty. I can't remember the name of it right now. It was like the Crystal Magic or something like that. I don't know, so, but I have to look it up.
Why don't you find out, Ruby, so I could book my flight?
I know, right? Come to San Antonio.
Let's go together. Yes. I'll definitely text you and let you know before I get my ticket. It's probably going to be the first week of April or somewhere.
Okay.
Dope. We can all go together.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. And I know that I had asked you too, Jasmine, about, you know, numbers and seeing numbers and a sequence of numbers and things like that. Is that part of the numerology, or is that something different?
Absolutely. That's a definite variation of numerology. those sequences, like you're probably referring to like 222 or 11-11, 12-12, right?
Yes.
I get so excited when people message me and they're like, girl, I cannot stop seeing 333 or whatever, right? And I'm like, this is amazing because this means that you are really starting to be in tune with your own frequency and you're opening yourself up to receive messages. It just means, and I'm not saying like negative messages or you're opening a realm of things. Like, no. Like, I really want to make people feel comfortable because I know sometimes we can get hung up on like thinking this is like bad or negative, but it's not. Mm-hmm. But when you see sequences like that, it truly is your angels communicating with you and kind of just tapping you on the shoulder, trying to get your attention to let you know, like, there's a meaning behind this, you know? And aside from like those generic sequences, I love to let people know, like, everyone has their own custom tailored angel number. Start paying attention to what it is. And it's a sequence that isn't as common. It could be like 291. Like, you see 291 all the time.
Say, like, it has to be like the same number repetitive, or like
it could be
like
a 2929, you know, something like that.
Now, aside, is that something through your numerical readings that you can help people find? Or is that something that, okay, because that's what we need to do. That's what I want to do with you. Okay, cool.
Definitely, because a lot of people in their birth dates have a lot of repeating numbers, and it's easy to tell sometimes, like, okay, you know, Marissa, your number is, you know, 3. Like, I know my good luck number, and I know people get hung up on the term good luck. Like, I don't believe in good luck, but I know that things happen in my life in sequences of a 7 pattern. And so 7's always been like a significant thing in terms of cycles for me. And I look back on my life like, oh yeah, I've had those dramatic shifts in 7-year cycles. And that's when I've experienced things. And so it's cool like that, because you get a better idea of all that like hidden knowledge behind how you're operating as a personal vibration in the physical form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, because we wanted to kind of give everybody like an insight. This is kind of what you guys can get when you come and get a reading with Jasmine, and you guys can book a reading with her right on her Instagram if you guys are interested. And she can help you find your, like, what did you call it? Numerical?
Yeah, your angel numbers, your personal vibrating numbers. I even get into, like, if you're ready for it, your karmic work. What karma you're dealing with, and then I even can get as detailed as like past life contracts, like I did with J-Lo the other day on that Instagram post.
Yes, Marissa, like, I
saw.
Oh my gosh, I love how you did that little snippet of J-Lo and how she always had the reason why she always had the wrong guy that she married, and now how kind of Alex is the reason why they're working out so well is because of the vibe, you know, like the vibration that they're on. But it was so interesting that you were able to do it through numbers, that's the reason why her other relationships were never up, you know, like up to her level kind of thing. You know, I don't think they were.
And a lot of that was really setting her up to finally get to this point, to finally meet Alex, for them both to finally meet each other, you know? So we can get into stuff like that. Like, and that's how I've confirmed how certain people actually are in a twin flame relationship or in a soulmate relationship. It's very telling. It's very telling.
I cannot wait.
Before English, numbers were universal language, you know? Like, if you go and talk to someone in Russia, but they don't know English, they know numbers.
Yes.
You know, like, numbers are a universal language, and it's the beginning language of, like, of mankind, of humanity.
Yeah, Roman numerals. I mean, hello.
Roman numerals. Yes. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of religious texts like Christianity and, you know, Catholicism and all that have numbers embedded secretly in all their passages. Like, John 3:16 isn't 316 for any old reason. Like, there's a meaning behind that.
Right.
You know, like the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Trinity. It's the vibration of the three.
Yep.
It's deeply rooted in our culture as mankind.
Wow.
I know. It's cool.
I'm so intrigued. I cannot wait to have our reading. But I do want to ask you.
I know. I want to have a reading.
I know.
Sure,
as I told her, I was like, I'm booking my reading. I want to get. I was like, when you feel better and you're not over, you're over your flu, we are doing this.
We're going to do it.
So what's it mean? And I just wanted to ask you this question, because people, well, not people, but so the lady that used to read my cards. And then I also had an aunt that was also a tarot card reader, and they both, and they didn't know each other, but they both told me in different times of my life that I always had like a third eye that I don't pay attention to. What does that mean? Like, what, I mean, like, I know what it meant, because I felt, and I was like, well, that's like my intuition. Like, is that like what, like my feelings that I would get deep down? Or is it actually like something that I'm ignoring and I'm not paying attention to? Because I was trying at one point, I think, trying to figure out what it was. And I would hear things, but then I wouldn't like know like exactly what it was. I wasn't understanding it. It was really weird. It was really weird. And then I just kind of like pushed it back. Like, okay, I'm pushing it back to where it was, because I don't understand what it is.
Great question. I'm so glad you asked that. So all of us have a third eye. Everyone has that.
And Ruby, you got one too, Ruby.
Yeah, Ruby, you got a third eye, girl.
How can I use that third eye? Because I need to, bring it out.
Oh my God, that's so funny. So the third eye simply is representative of us being able to see beyond the veil. So seeing beyond deceit, beyond the lies, really being able to be receptive to go through the inner layers of things, and that can be definitely in alignment with tapping into your intuition. Okay. Now, you could even be as far as seeing beyond the veil, depending on how advanced your abilities are and how much you want to get into it. But then people could even start using opening up their third eye to start exploring any sort of like clairvoyant or clairaudient abilities. That's more of like the psychic stuff. But that doesn't mean everyone's going to do that. It just depends on where you're at in this incarnation. Some people are automatically born being like, you know, they have a wide open third eye, but that's because they need to, so that way they can explore those abilities. But your third eye can really help you start getting more in tune with your intuition, or AKA your gut feeling, and seeing beyond like surface level. Really getting to like the thick of things, instead of focusing on, you know, the general consensus of things, and start tapping into what you intuitively know through your inner knowing.
And can, and so it, yeah, it's so interesting. Yeah. And I think learning more about our numbers and learning more about, you know, like that whole part of it will help that be more
it
clear.
It could be also that maybe she was trying to tell you that you have such a strong intuition. So start opening yourself up to that. Because a lot of people have like a really great relationship with their intuition, and they try to block it all, or like, because a lot of society tells us like, oh, you know, don't act on your gut, act on your analytical abilities. Sure, yes, thinking logically is very important, but also having emotional intelligence is very important as well, you know? And I think a lot of times in this society, we get so hung up on like, oh, when we talk about like gut feelings or intuition, like, oh, that's just a woman's thing. It's like, we kind of downplay it to like almost being a negative asset of our femininity. And it's really actually something that can leverage us in making better decisions.
Wow. That's so interesting. Yeah, that is super interesting. And
now, Jasmine, if I may ask you something, I don't know, Marissa, if you guys have heard of this. Have you guys heard of babies crying in the womb?
I have never heard of that.
No.
What does that mean?
I have not. What is that?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know exactly what it means, but from what I heard, you know, a long time ago, my mom had mentioned that I cried in her womb.
What?
And yes. And everybody heard it in the room.
What?
And then that my great, great grandma had heard it, and she's like, oh, she's going to be adivina. And I was like, that's so crazy. I don't know. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but it's something that that had happened to me. And I always wondered what that means, or if there's anything that I, you know, in me that I haven't really discovered, or, you know, things like that. And I think that's why I gravitated to Jasmine, and kind of that's why I was kind of like, should I learn about this? Should I not? But just how you mentioned on your blog, you know, I was born and raised Catholic. So you're kind of raised to, oh no, that's witchcraft. You don't ever want to touch into that. That's not good. And, you know, and things like that. But I've always had that little thing in me where it's like, what is all of this? You know, like that curiosity.
Yeah.
But if any of the listeners know, let me know if you guys
have ever heard of that. Yeah.
If you guys know what it means or anything like that. But
can I touch on that a bit? I want to say, that was your grandmother who made that reference, right? Great, great grandma.
My great,
and she's still grandma. With us or no longer?
No, no. This we're talking about. I mean, my mom told me this when I was. She's been telling me this since I was younger.
It happened when you were still in her womb, right?
I was in her womb, and I cried in her womb, and everybody, I guess, between my mom and that lady heard me. Yeah, 33 years ago. Okay.
I was like over 30 plus years. We don't want to say Ruby's age. You guys, don't even worry. I'm older than everybody ever on this podcast. So.
No. I mean, but let me just say, okay, that is so interesting. I'm really intrigued, and anything is possible. I wouldn't even doubt that that wasn't true. I would definitely say that was something that was factual. And I would love to see if, like, what's your ethnicity? Are you, what's your, like, your ethnicity, like your family race? Mexican?
Yeah, 100% on both sides.
Just the fact that you had someone in your family who was open to messages like that and even called you a divina, like, that to me says that there is some sort of openness through your family lineage to that stuff. Okay.
Like, it was part of your family, like, mm-hmm. that somebody already believed in that, and they were probably instilling that in you.
Exactly. I would explore it. I would start tapping into your ancestral roots. Start researching down to, like, even the city and the pueblo that your family's from, and seeing, like, you know, sometimes a lot of our family members can say, oh yeah, like, we had this medicine woman, this wise woman, and, you know, like, mm-hmm. it, and it can derive from there and start doing your own research. But a lot of it is inner knowing. So the fact that you're constantly tugged back to that as something as it happened, and I really want to honor why it happened, that to me just shows that your own intuition knows you should explore it, because it's something about you that you need to understand.
And that might be why your mom keeps bringing it up to you, even after you, you know, after telling it to you, you know, that she's told it to you, like you said, she's brought it up lots of times. Yeah, like, she's brought it up.
Yeah. She shares this story. You know, she's like, oh yeah, my daughter, like, da 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 da. And I just look at her and I'm like, you know, I never really questioned anything about my great grandma or anything mm-hmm. like that, you know, mm-hmm. but that always stuck to me. And I'm like, what? That's so weird.
That's
like, you
cool,
know, it's
though.
Like,
yeah, that is
cool. I'm like,
we could do also.
Like, how did that happen?
Well, also, when you're ready for a reading, whenever you're ready, I never like to push people, but whenever you're ready, we can always look into that. Like, I can look into your natal chart, and I can tell there's signifiers in people's charts and numbers that say they're gifted in whatever sort of aspect it is. Depending, so we can, like, look into what. Yeah, maybe you have a lineage to something. We can look into
that. Maybe so.
Yeah.
Wow.
I need to know.
Yes, you do. You
yes,
do.
Yes, you do. That's you really do.
Yeah. So if anybody out there listening, if you guys have ever heard of that, I mean,
yeah,
please,
comment
please,
on this
please,
podcast please, and let us know.
Please, let us know. We need to know.
Yeah, we do. I wonder if anybody else has ever been told they were crying in the womb. You know, I just never heard of that phrase ever. I mean, I just wonder if anybody else has ever been told something like that. That is insane. So the other day when I was talking to Ruby Jasmine, I was like, she was telling me, oh my God, this is delayed and this is delayed and this didn't happen. And I was like, I said, girl, it is Mercury retrograde. She was like, what is that? Woo! And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, I literally have to I had to explain to her everything about it. Yeah. And I was like, I always really make sure I know when it is, and I don't buy anything new, and I don't do the whole thing. Like, I always been real, but how do you tell us your thoughts on that, and then also your thoughts on the law of attraction? I want to get your insight on that.
Mm-hmm. I'll tap into all that. So Mercury retrograde is, I like to start off with this, should not be feared but rather respected. So Mercury is when literally the planet Mercury in our solar system goes retrograde. So he spins reverse. So he starts going in a stagnant motion reverse. So this slows down the cosmic influences that he has on us as energetic forces, as beings here on this planet. So he is representative of communication and thought. So when Mercury goes into retrograde, it's a short way of saying, things will slow down, will pause up, unexpected crap will happen, because it's meant to make us self-reflect. It's a moment for us to stop and really communicate with ourselves, like, is this a pattern that's been a cycle for me that I'm not breaking yet? You know, and this can play out in all aspects. That's why a lot of people say, like, oh, during Mercury retrograde, it's very common for people's exes to come back up into their life and reappear. Like, oh. I just had a girl the other day hit me up. She was like, girl, my ex just came back. He's knocking on my door. And I was like, yep, girl, that's Mercury retrograde. He'll do that kind of, you know, going, hey, did you deal with this yet fully? You know what I'm saying? Mm. Did you close the chapter on it? Are you working on it? So it's a great time to really
reflect too, right?
And reflect, absolutely. Mm. But also be cautious, like you brought up, Marissa. A lot of people like to say, if you're going to go out and get into a big purchase or something that has to do with contracts, really make sure you read everything over. Because again, he represents communication. You know, dot your I's and cross your T's. You know, just make sure you're absolutely taking triple glances at things and really making sure nothing's missing. All the puzzles are presented, to the pieces to the puzzle, things like that. So that's why, Ruby, you're going through that.
Ah, okay. That made a lot of sense. I was like, she was asking me about, you know, my little side business. Uh-huh. And I was like, guess what? And this and that. She's like, oh, girl, it's Mercury retrograde. I was like, what is that?
Cancel brunch. And
because yes, see how brunch got canceled yesterday? Oh my gosh. That's so crazy.
There was no way I can make it. And they were all so sweet. They're like, let's just wait till everyone can do it. And I thought that was so sweet of you. So thank you. Did you want me to go into law of attraction?
I not go into it, but like, do you kind of like think that that's something? Yeah. Like kind of just like your insight on that. Cause I feel like I try to keep the universe opened. You know, when things are, you know, happening, or I try to keep an open mind to that, try to think positive, you know, in staying, instead of saying like, oh, I'm never gonna, you know, get this contract, or I'm never gonna, you know, sign with this brand, or I'm never, you know, like I try to not go that route and keep it open. So is that kind of how you go about it? Like, what's your insight on it?
That's a great way of explaining it, Marissa. Yeah, really though, what I like to say in simplest terms is, in order to meet what you want, you have to meet it at its vibration, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're out there saying, you know, I want a job that's six figures, or I want the promotion, and then you get the interview, right?
Right.
And then you go into the interview and you're like, shit, I'm so nervous. I'm not ready. Self-doubt creeps in. Our self-critic tells us why we suck and we're not worthy of it. That's you operating in the opposite frequency. So here the universe was like, oh, okay, Ruby wants that promotion, so I'm going to give her the interview, but I also want to see if Ruby can meet me through her energy and her frequency to prove that Ruby does believe she's worthy of this. But then if we go into it with the opposite and we're vibrating at a different frequency, then we're rejecting that blessing. And that's in all aspects of our lives. And I know this can be really controversial, because I've had this conversation with people how it relates specifically into our relationships. But, you know, our relationships are literally our mirror work of where we're at spiritually, right? The partners we're bringing into our life is a lot to do with how we're embodying that frequency of self-love and all that. So law of attraction really is fully embodying all of it, like your emotions, your thoughts, the way you carry yourself, the things you're ingesting. Like, I try to be really conscious of ingesting like positive content. But of course, you know, I'm human. At the end of the day, I need to go out and have a girl's night and hit the club up, right?
Like, right.
Right. You gotta do that. You know, at the end of the day, we're only human. We got to let some steam off. But really being mindful of, okay, I'm talking the talk, but am I walking the walk, and am I embodying all of that? That's like the simplest way I can put it. Okay. And I think sometimes people aren't really able to grasp that yet, because I think it's a form of them getting there when they're ready. All of us, right? We all have our own journeys. So it's like, if it doesn't fully make sense, just try practicing always being positive and happy. You know, like, just try, like, we're going to have our moments of being sad and all that. But like you said, if you think you're not worthy of getting these big contracts and these big deals, then you're not going to get them.
Yeah, because so you keep telling yourself worthy. No.
Yeah.
That is so perfect. Oh my gosh. Oh.
Is that the same thing when people say, like, speak it into existence?
Absolutely.
Yes. But, like, you got to say it. You got to put it out there, like, that it's happening.
We also got to feel it.
Picture it.
Feel it. Mm-hmm. You got to feel it. And I personally have experienced that really helping me out in my own personal life. I think we all have at one point or another, but we just don't really realize it. Right.
Yeah, we don't realize it's happening, but yeah. but if you go back and look at it, you're like, that's the law of attraction. And I think that was me moving here. I mean, I was all the way 1,200 miles away, and I think I was subconsciously always Texas this, Texas that, kept all my Texas things around. I even, you know, like I even held on. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you guys something really quick. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't know if you realize this, but so I had a boy when I lived here 15 years ago. And I had a boyfriend at that time, but you know, things happened and we ended up splitting up. I moved back home. That was that. Never talked to him again. Right. And I moved back here 3 years ago and we ended up finding each other as I was unpacking my stuff. Okay. And let me tell you, I moved like 4 or 5 times in these last 12 years. Yeah. I unpacked something and it was the first rose he ever gave me with a card inside of a vase wrapped in San Antonio newspaper. When I had moved here, I had kept it and I moved it with me, but I have never seen it all these years until I got back here and I unpacked my shit. And I was like, oh my God. And I like looked and he's like standing in my living room and he's like helping me move. He was helping me move my stuff.
Oh,
and
I'm man.
Like, and I was like, oh my God, I'm opening up. This is the first, like it was like the, I have the rose petals. I will send you a picture. It's the rose petals inside of the vase with the card that says, I love you. And it was like the first like Valentine's that we ever had. That's and I'm engaged. And now we're engaged. But I mean, it was like, I think subconsciously always held on to him, even though we never spoke in all these years. We never had any, we were together. We had a great relationship in our 20s and now we're in our 40s and here we are, you know, getting married. And it was interesting too, because I think, I don't know if it was J-Lo or A-Rod, but in one of their interviews, and I saw it this morning, they said, if we would have been together in our 20s, we wouldn't have worked out.
No way.
And they're working out now because of everything they've gone through. And I think that same thing about, you know, my fiance and I, that if it was in our 20s, there's a reason why we didn't stick at that time. Oh, yeah. But I think we were meant to be together now, you know?
Oh, for sure. And that's a perfect example of synchronicity, like life telling you, you are so in alignment with where you were at that time that you stumbled across that rose that you had not seen in forever long. And he was in the living room, you know, like that was life telling you, like, you are in alignment. Like you are calling in what you want to call in, you know, that gave me like goosebumps.
Oh my God.
It gave me goosebumps.
Jasmine, thank you so much for joining us. And I want you to tell everybody where they can find you. You guys can catch her on YouTube. You guys can read her blog. You guys can listen to her podcast, but shout out all your platforms so that we can make sure everybody can find you and also find you to get their numerical reading if they're ready.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you both for having me. I mean, I'm sad our time's already over. It flew by so quickly because it was so much fun. But you can find me, of course, everywhere. My Instagram is @esoteric_essa, and that's ESOTERIC_essa. The same for my YouTube channel. And then my blog is Soliminati. But you can find that on my Instagram. And then I have a link in bio if you want to book a reading. And then Marissa, I know we discussed something special for your listeners. Did you want to share?
Yes. You wanted to do something special for the Girl Talking Mouse listeners. So yeah, go ahead and give that info out.
So we are collaborating, thankfully. And so I would love to honor this collaboration and honor all of you listening here and supporting all three of us and our community together as Latinas. So I would love to offer a 10% discount on readings. So go ahead and message me and we'll get something going. If you want to use code Girl Talk, so that way I know you directly came from Girl Talk podcast, and then we can get something set up.
Yay! Thank you so much for that. That's exciting. And I can't, like I said, I can't wait to have my time with you. And I just appreciate you so much beyond doing this podcast, but just being that positive energy out there. I know I can always go and listen to you. I know I can always go check out one of your videos and be informed and find, learn something new. And it's just amazing that I'm so happy that we connected, that we all three connected.
Yeah. We all connected for a reason, right? And
yes.
I don't want to downplay everything you're doing with your own podcast, because I really respect you bringing the community together and highlighting other people and other women. I think it's so important that we're collaborating like this. And you are like the epitome of collaboration over competition.
Thank you for that. Yeah, thank you, guys. You guys mean so much to me. Thank you. I appreciate that. This podcast has been, you know, a long journey, but I'm so happy with everything that's ever came out of it. Every interview that we've ever done. It's just, it's a sisterhood, and it's that's what it's always going to be. And, you know, you're always going to, you know, you can come here and find new people and learn about new things and meet some amazing, amazing people. So yeah, I'm excited.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. It was so much fun.
Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to share this podcast and take advantage of that special 10% off of numerology reading from our expert, Jasmine.
I know, you guys, 10% off. That's amazing. We're so, thank you, Jasmine, for doing that for our listeners. That's
yes, we greatly appreciate. And the code is Girl Talk, guys. So don't forget, write it down, Girl Talk.
Yes, and get your 10% off. And just so you guys know, the way she does it, she actually records it and gives you a recording of your reading. So it's something that you can go back and listen to and kind of, you know, recollect and have that information with you. And on that note, I also want to give a shout out to some other women podcasters out there that are doing the damn thing. Woo-hoo! Yes, I'm so proud of them. They're called Tejana Talk. They're three mujeres here from San Antonio, Stephanie, ooh, Tori, and Marissa. And I listened to a few of their episodes. I think they have two or three episodes out by now. But they're new podcast. And you guys, if you love this vibe, and you would love their vibe. So I definitely suggest that you guys go over. I know you can find them on Spotify and iTunes, and they have a Instagram page, Tejana Talk. So definitely go over there and check them out. They have a pretty good podcast. And my three favorite hermanas are back, A Little Mas. They are in California, where Ruby's at.
Yay!
They're three sisters. They have an awesome podcast. They are on their next season also. So congrats to them. And you guys always know that they always have some really fun topics and content coming out all the time. So go make sure you guys give them a follow, give them a listen, support your women podcasters out there in this digital space, because we need it and we appreciate it. And
we all need it.
We love sharing stories like this. And we want to thank Jasmine again for joining us. And until then, we will catch you on the next episode of Girl Talking Mas.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.